Welcome to Share the Bytes, Episode 2, Lin Tablets.
Hey, I got an idea.
What's that?
We can totally rip off news reels and start the clip by talking about something completely off topic and then realize that we're recording.
What do you got?
Oh god, see now that's where you're supposed to come out with something witty to go with it.
Okay, well, we can try that one again and just lose the whole effect of it.
Okay, comedians. Think of your favorite comedian. We'll talk about comedians. Or a comedian you hate.
Gosh, what was his name?
Tablets.
Oh, yes. So, what is a tablet? What kind of tablet are we talking about? Because there's this whole thing, this whole revolution going on right now that Apple has a tablet, the iPad. Now there are these new Android tablets that are supposedly coming out, but we're not talking about those, are we?
No. In fact, we're not even talking about the Ten Commandments on tablets, for those of you who get the joke.
Woo!
And accept it. No, we're actually talking today about generally what are also called convertibles in the computer world. They are laptops with a screen that can use, at the very least, a pen, a piece of pen technology, and you can write and use it as a mouse replacement. Oftentimes, they also have pressure.
Resistance touch screens. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the pens have pressure sensors on them. So if you enable that feature and you're a graphics artist, you can do like a light stroke to a heavy stroke and other awesome things. So any of you familiar with the Wacom technology, that's like the standard for tablets as far as pen is concerned. And then, you know, and then, like you said, they add on the capacitive and resistive touch screens, which are, well, on current tech, neither here nor there still.
Yeah. Now I've used tablets that have both a pressure sensor. The screen reacts to pressure. So you could use your fingernail essentially. And then also the Wacom tablets, which have a magnetic sensor of sorts, I think. And yes, the Wacom tablets are far more sensitive, far more accurate. The ones that require physical pressure, not as accurate. Your handwriting looks very sloppy, and it takes a lot of practice to use. I mean, that's what I had when I was in school. I had a Windows Vista tablet. It worked great. I bought it because I wanted to use it for taking notes in the classroom. But yes, it took some effort to use when I got my hands on a Wacom. Loved it. Also used it to taking notes. But again, my experience was all with Windows Vista, but you have a completely different experience with tablets, haven't you?
Yeah, I have it's ancient at this point, a Gateway C140X that I purchased 3 years ago now, I think. And it came with Windows Vista, which, don't get me wrong, you probably agree with this, Windows Vista has vastly improved tablet features over Windows XP.
Oh yeah, Vista, the tablet features were built in. In fact, if you didn't have a tablet machine and you had Vista, you'd want to go into the system services and turn that feature off from automatically starting up with your computer just to save system resources.
Yeah, which in Vista you really needed to do.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of curious to how it works in Windows 7, but that's another story. We're talking Linux today, folks.
That we are. So I ran Windows Vista for about a year on that, and it being Windows Vista, it eventually got slow and painful, and so I started experimenting with Linux on it. And At about that time, really the only major problem I ran into to get Linux just working, which is always a problem on new hardware, was that the wireless driver was just released. And that and the graphics driver, but yeah, whatever. I got the funny thing about this laptop is it's got an official ATI graphics card, so it could do 3D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most of you have had know the pain of installing ATI drivers on a Linux platform.
Yeah, they were pretty difficult back in the day.
Yeah, well, and on top of it, ATI just dropped my support for mine after version 9.2 of Catalyst, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, at this point, they've got the open source stuff going all right. But anyway, I went cheap for all you non-Ubuntu, non-really quick install fast people. I'm sorry, I went with Ubuntu, and it worked out pretty darn well.
Right off the bat, did it work?
As about as well as Ubuntu usually does with laptop hardware. You know, the wireless worked, which was major, and that. The major problems I ran into, first off, were that you could rotate the screen using GRander, however you want to pronounce it,
mm-hmm.
or even XRander from the command line, but it didn't rotate the pen input, which is apparently an entirely different feature.
Oh.
You also had to, I think on that, what was I using? I think I was using 8.10 at that time.
Uh-huh.
And Ubuntu 8.10, and it, you still had to mess a lot with the x.org file. You had to set up the actual pen as an input. So you had the eraser and you had the pen. And then you had the pointer as well for the device in order for the X to recognize it. And actually Linux Wacom, it's a Linux Wacom tablet display, fortunately. Uh-huh. So it's Linux compatible and it comes built into the kernel. So there's no extra crud you have to worry about that. You just have to set X up with it. And that works. Once I got that going, once you edited the X file, it was fine. The problem with that is it took me at least 2 or 3 days of searching the internet, and any of you can go out there and do this right now and find the same exact websites I did, because they've never been updated since 2003. I don't know what is wrong with this community. Well, okay, maybe I do. In fact, I know exactly. If you all go to xkcd.com/619, that's pretty much a perfect example of how things go in this world. that's a good comic. You should read it. But and there's also, you know, I had to do the X stuff. And then there's, you know, other hardware stuff I had to do that wasn't directly related to the tablet. But it still left the standard features, at least in Windows Vista, they had the capability of rotating the screen and making it easy to set it up so you could write on it.
Uh-huh.
In Linux, at the time, there was, at best, a command line script that mm-hmm. you could run that would run XRander and then the Wacom command line utility to uh-huh. rotate them both. It was clunky. It was basically a for loop, and all that it did was it would rotate it one direction, and then you could write on it, and then to get back to normal, you had to run it 3 more times in order to set it straight, and it was miserable,
uh-huh.
and just drove me up the wall.
Now, were you the only person with this problem? Were you able to find anyone else on forums or support boards that were encountering this issue and had come up with any kind of fix or workaround so it wasn't as clunky?
You know, really, at the time, And I still think this, it's such a small community of people that want Linux to actually work on tablets that, you know, everyone else is concentrating on getting it Linux to work on everything, like the major stuff. But it's more of a niche, really.
Okay.
Or niche. I can't remember how to pronounce it either. But it's, yeah, and that's actually where I got that command line script from, was a fairly well outdated web page form. Mm-hmm. And it was, I was like, wait, is this it? That's all?
Now, were you motivated to try to work with this and get Ubuntu running with the tablet because it was a challenge, it was there? Or did you discover some sort of features that Linux was offering for tablets that Windows didn't offer?
If it weren't for video gaming and one or two really well done, one or two really well small things done in Windows, I would actually use Linux all the time. And it's, don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect operating system. The only real difference between Windows and Linux is each has their own set of problems, which are fortunately not the same set of problems between the two. Mm-hmm. So it really depends upon which set of problems you want to deal with.
Yeah.
But at the time I was doing a little programming, which is tons easier to do in Linux. It's all there. You just have to run a couple command lines and download the right packages and it's going. Well, in Windows it can be a regular fiasco, especially if you're trying to do GUI work.
So with your tablet and you have this script, you didn't feel that it was sufficient, so you went ahead and created your own program to work with the screen rotation. Is that correct?
That I did. I actually got really pissed off one day. I got myself into a bit of a trouble and was laid up for a while. So I had plenty of time on my hands. Typing with a cast is a pain in the butt, by the way. But
I'll take your word for it. I've been fortunate enough not to have to experience that.
Okay, well, keep it that way. I had some time on my hands, and it occurred to me that there's no one was putting real effort into this, and so I did just like two or three little Google searches, right? I thought, well, you know what would be appropriate for this? This would be a tray app. Just a little icon you can click and rotate or right-click and select specifically what you're looking for, the correct orientation you're looking for. And I Googled, and I don't even remember if I have the bookmark for it anymore, but there was a website that had the code skeleton for creating a GTK tray icon.
And okay, and for those of who aren't familiar with GTK, that's the, you know, in general terms, the GUI programming library for the GNOME interface.
Yeah, and it was all laid out, and they had each individual section for the icon and the actual processing of what to do things, and literally it was pretty much just drag code in and drop, and I just about had a heart attack. It was so simple, and at the time, in fact, the current revision of the code, which I don't think has been updated in quite a while, still uses the shell calls. So it still uses the Wacom command line utility, but it does actually use the xrandr library to rotate the screen, and all it was is I just tossed the code in there, and it actually took me like maybe 3 hours to do, and it's just it's a fantastic piece of software, and all it does is it sits in the tray and you just tap it and it'll rotate the screen exactly the same way the script would, except you don't need to create a special icon that runs the script somewhere. And it's also configurable, so you can have it auto rotate between, or you can set the rotation order to, uh-huh. you know, you can have it just go around, flip 90 degrees counterclockwise, which is the default. The other way around, you can do all four, and it's great. And for those who, I may as well at least tell you what it's called. It's called Tablet Tray, and you can pull the code from tablettray.sourceforge.net. It's free open source. I believe I released it under the GPL version 3. Not that mm-hmm. I'm that worried about it. There's also
now, is your code written in C, C++, Java, what?
That particular version that's still up there right now was written in a really bad mix of C++ and C. The GTK is actually a C code, but the GCC compiler didn't complain when I did everything in C++ style. So it compiles just fine, at least on Ubuntu, up to Ubuntu 9.10. It was working fine. I was going to say my another friend I've got from school actually took that code and cleaned it up, and he's pretty well taken over that project. The School of Mines has a tablet loaning thing going on with the physics department,
mm-hmm.
that they loan out these they're even older than the one I have. They're HP tablets, and he runs, and they all run Ubuntu, and so he's basically in charge of getting the whatever version of Ubuntu to work on that particular laptop. And I sent off the source code to him, and he's cleaned it up. And actually, I don't know if he's done anything lately, but he's got some really brilliant ideas, including automatic rotation, because apparently the Linux kernel actually monitors the little trigger that rotates screens.
That's good news.
So, yeah. And that's actually a... what's the... Canonicals, their big website that they host their host software on. I can't remember. But I will look it up, and I will post it and so for everyone to see. And that should have at least the Ubuntu 9.10 latest release of it in PPA form for all you want to. And then, you know, obviously go to the SourceForge site and take that and make it better, because it's so incredibly simple, and it's just waiting to be stretched.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And if anybody has any questions for Corey, specifically on the code or anything else, they can reach you at
Corey@sharethebytes.com.
Yes. And you can reach me, Ian, at QNC, questions and comments at sharethebytes.com.
Very nice.
Yep. Well, I would say that would be a good episode, and I want to thank everybody for listening, and hope you join us again next time for another Share the Bytes podcast.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, wait a minute, Corey. We almost forgot.
Oh, what was that, Ian?
Well, one thing I'd like to get started is... Do you have a plug for a particular application, whether it's on the desktop or if it's on a cell phone, that makes life a little bit easier, or maybe a website that offers some sort of features for free or paid that just makes life easier? Something to share. If you need some time to think about that, I've got mine. My first one is application for the Android system, and it's called Instant Heart Rate. It's a great little program you can download from the marketplace, and all you do is put your finger over the camera of the phone, and it can actually read your heart rate. And I know some people might say, oh, that's impossible. How do they do it? Well, according to the person's website and their explanation, they look at the capillary dilation in your fingers. So you either have to hold it up to bright light, or if your phone has a flashlight, it'll shine in there. It's kind of like when you put your hand over a flashlight when you're a really small kid and you could see through it. Well, the camera is actually measuring your blood flow. It's amazing. I even tested out with the real heart rate monitor, and the real heart rate monitor told me that my heart rate was 100 beats per minute. And the instant heart rate monitor for Android told me my heart rate was at 99 beats per minute. So they were pretty much dead on even. So I mean, it's an amazing program. And if you have an Android phone, I highly recommend you download and try it out, especially for those of you who like to work out.
Very nice. Yeah, I actually wish I had an Android now. You're making it difficult for me, man. Might have to actually spend some money. Actually, this one's kind of old school. I've had this one for a very long time, and it probably hasn't been updated in a while. For those of you who still have CDs lying around the house that they haven't ripped to iTunes, heaven forbid, there's a fantastic free, and I think it's also open source software called Audio Grabber that it's used for ripping CDs. And it's got CDDB capabilities, which means you can put your CD in and click a button and it will go out to, I think it's freecddb.org, and it will look up your CD and tag it all for you. And you can also, it has the ability to rip to directories, create a new directory per CD. I'm sure you could actually even customize it down to creating a new directory per song, although I don't know why you'd want to do that. I know it does MP3s. I'm pretty sure it does all of the open source, all of the open source codecs such as AUG or FLAC. And yeah, don't get me wrong, it's Windows only at this point, as far as I remember, and it is very, very old school. It's got a very old school interface, but it works really, really well. And on those occasions, I actually pick up a disc and want to add it to my collection. That is the tool I go to. It's one word, Audio Grabber, and I do not recall the website, but that is the thing you get it.
Outstanding. Okay, well, that concludes the show for today then. So again, Corey's at Corey@ShareTheBytes.com. I'm at QNC@ShareTheBytes.com, and hope you'll join us next time.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. So about awesome. those stand-up comedians.
Yeah. Gosh, what was the one I was thinking about? Oh, yeah, the one who does the puppets. Remember him? With...